The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. And now, O God, may the words which I speak, the thoughts that we think together, and the actions that we would take as a result be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Her name was Debbie. Both she and her husband were pastors in the Methodist Church, and Debbie was one of the most charismatic people I've ever met. She told me that she began every worship service in her church with these words, "Good morning. The Christ in me sees the Christ in you, and there is joy." Joy. Joy is the inevitable fruit of a God-filled life. And in our text today, we meet two women, Mary and Elizabeth, who are joyfully God-filled. Our text tells us that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit as she speaks a word of prophecy over Mary. And Mary, we know, is literally God-filled as deity takes on human flesh in her womb. 2 weeks ago, I preached about a forgotten aspect of the Advent season, our need for repentance, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ and look forward to his second coming. Well, today we are on much more familiar Advent territory in the land of joy and exaltation. The gospel tells us that when Mary entered the home of her relative Elizabeth, the baby inside her, John the Baptizer, leaped for joy. And by the Spirit, the yet-to-be-born prophet recognized the Christ in Mary, and his little body vibrated with joy. For the Christian, every day is Christmas. And I say that because Scripture tells us that the mercies of God are new every morning. As Christ gives himself to us, our spirits, our minds, sometimes even our bodies, vibrate with joy like that of a child opening gift after gift on Christmas morn. So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I'd like us to spend some time unwrapping and reflecting on some of the familiar gifts that are experienced by those who, like Mary and Elizabeth, live a God-filled life. First, those who live a God-filled life receive the gift of forgiveness. In fact, we receive it and sometimes even grow too familiar with it and don't value it enough. But Mary, in her song of praise called the Magnificat, exuberantly sang, "His mercy extends to those who fear him." Generations before, King David, in his great psalm of confession after the greatest moral failures of his life, cries out to God and says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Many of you know our Wednesday night Bible study has been progressing through a book by Kathy Lee Gifford called The Rock, the Road, and the Rabbi. And in that book, she often makes reference to her family, and she often talks about her late husband, Frank Gifford, the football and broadcasting legend. When he passed about 3 years ago, on national television, she said, "He died at peace, knowing that all of his sins had been forgiven." The first priceless, joyous gift of a God-filled life is knowing that God has cast our sin as far as east is from the west. He has cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. No matter what harms we have inflicted on another, no matter what harms have been inflicted upon us, they are covered by the blood of Christ, and we can walk with our heads held high. The second gift that Christians unwrap each and every morning is the gift of Christian freedom, priceless, genuine freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ is not the freedom to do whatever you want. It's vastly more wonderful than that. Freedom in Christ is the freedom not to do whatever you want. Freedom in Christ is the freedom not to do whatever you want. It's freedom from the old sinful tyranny of our first Adam that we've inherited. It's freedom to joyfully do the will of God. It's the freedom that Christ has come that we might enjoy. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You know, I think the world in which we live attempts to coerce us into spiritual and emotional bondage. It does so through the modern manifestations of some ancient temptations that are mentioned at the end of the New Testament in a small book called 1 John. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And John tells us those things do not come from the Father, but are of this world. And it seems that in our time, the combination of big data and Madison Avenue has spawned an increasingly sophisticated series of weapons that are arrayed against the freedoms that we enjoy in Christ. Perhaps our greatest defense is to embrace the harsh yet ultimately joyful reality that we are nothing more than resident aliens in this world, and certainly not permanent citizens. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Because of Bethlehem's babe, we joyfully receive forgiveness and freedom with the dawn of each new day. And at the risk of sounding like one of those late night commercials that you see on cable television, let me say, but wait, there's more. The third gift is the abundant provision of God. The Apostle Paul, as he was bound in chains in a Roman prison, wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said this, "My God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus." The self-help author Melody Beattie ironically depicted it this way in one of her writings through this analogy. She says, "Picture yourself walking through a meadow. There's a path open before you. As you walk, you feel hungry. You look to your left, and there's a fruit tree in full bloom. You eat what you need. Steps later, you notice you're thirsty, and on your right, there's a fresh spring of water. When you're tired, a resting place emerges. When you're lonely, if a friend comes alongside to walk with you. When you get lost, a teacher with a map appears. Before long, you notice the flow. need and supply, desire and fulfillment. And you begin to wonder, maybe someone gave me the need because someone planned to fulfill it. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For your heavenly Father knows your needs, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Forgiveness, freedom, provision, but wait, there's more. Fourth gift of God is the protection of God. First two verses of Psalm 91 depict God as a bird hovering, protecting her hatchlings from the storm. It says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield." Psalm 5 says, "But let all those who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy." And Proverbs tells us that those who live a God-filled life see danger and take refuge in God's protection. Forgiveness, freedom, provision, protection, but wait, there's more. The last gift of a God-filled life I wish to consider this morning is the gift of God's guidance. Psalm 16:11 states, "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, and eternal pleasures are at your right hand." When you don't know which way to go, when you don't know what to do in your life, just wait. Don't be anxious. Don't rush ahead. Just wait. Just listen for God's guidance. Blaise Pascal was not exaggerating all that much when he said this. He said, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room." All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room. Now, if there was enough anxiety and unprofitable distraction in 17th century society for Pascal to utter such a sentiment, certainly there's far more in ours, an age of 24-hour cable news, smartphones, and social media. And I think because of that, we have to be all the more diligent in carving out space to quiet our hearts and to hear God's word to us. Several years ago, I was attending a conference in Florida, and I was at this beautiful resort, and I woke up early one morning before many of the other attendees, and I found a spot at the corner of the outdoor restaurant that had a fabulous view of the ocean. And I ate my breakfast in solitude, and then I pulled out my Bible and my journal, and I had my devotions there. It was beautiful. Later in the day, one of the other conference attendees came up to me, and he said, well, he had gotten up early too, and he had seen me there. He noticed that I was reading my Bible and journaling, and then he said to me with almost a hint of wonder in his voice, he said, "Man, what a wonderful ritual." And I thought to myself, I was very kind, I just said thank you, but I thought, ritual? Ritual? It's not a ritual. What you saw was a desperate, ravenous soul ingesting much-needed spiritual nourishment and guidance before a busy day. I don't need rituals, I need food. Forgiveness, freedom, provision, protection, and guidance, those are the things that we need. Those are the familiar gifts that God bestows upon us each and every morning. May we never lose our wonder and appreciation for it. But you know we do. All too often, we're like a toddler who has opened up his presents on Christmas morning with great excitement and then soon gets preoccupied with the box in which the gifts came. I find myself distracted by the externals, by all of the lesser gifts that this world would offer. But the words of Jesus nudge me back to his greater gifts. In our gospel text this morning, Elizabeth cried out to Mary, "Of all women, you are most blessed of all." And later in Luke's gospel, another woman in a crowd would call out to Jesus and say, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus' response to her was profoundly instructive. He said this, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That means that you and I, as we live a God-filled life, that we can experience a blessing even greater than Mary's as we continually unwrap these gifts of joy each and every day. Martin Luther famously put it this way, "Behold Christ, lying in the lap of his young mother. See how God invites you in many ways. He places before you a babe with whom you may take refuge. You cannot fear him, for nothing is more appealing to a man than a babe. Are you afraid? Then come to him, lying in the lap of the fairest and sweetest maid. You will see how great is the divine goodness which seeks above all else that you should not despair. Trust him. Trust him. Here is the child in whom is salvation. To me, there is no greater consolation given to mankind than this, that Christ became a man, a child, a babe, playing at the lap and at the breast of this most gracious mother. Now is overcome the power of sin, of death, of hell, of conscience, and guilt. If you come to this gurgling babe and believe that he is come, not to judge you, but to save you."